At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There, a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of this podcast, and I'm here with Stephen English. That's your cue, Stephen English.
Hey. Sorry. I was adjusting levels on the wrong channel, but that's me.
Also a comedian and a budget producer of, you know, like a, he's on a, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm
he's like the type of producer you get on a budget.
Value meal.
You are a Holiday Inn Express. is what you are. And that's okay. It's a nice day.
Hey, some people got to, yeah.
When I say we, you know, we are, here we are recording our podcast. What I mean by that, of course, is that we are in a parking garage.
Yes.
In Steven's car.
Yes.
On his lunch break.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me because I do have, it's noon, so I do have some, you know, just woke up voice. This is the first time I've talked today. but Steven's on his lunch break selling escrow for your mom, which I don't, you don't sell escrow.
You don't sell escrow.
I know.
You know very little about my life. And
it's a character that I play. I act like I don't know about
you act like you don't know or don't care.
Money and stuff like that. You know, I just have a perception to put out. Coronado. Or how is it officially pronounced?
Coronado.
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 mine sounded like
Trill that.
Mine sounded a little bit like a offensive Japanese. A Coronado.
Yeah. You sound like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Have I told you the bonsai tree story before?
No.
Have I told you that before? Me and Zoltan were doing spots in L.A. and Ventura over like a 4 or 5 week or night run. And it was Mother's Day was coming and we saw a guy selling bonsai trees on the side of the road. And we're like, oh, this would be great for my wife and for your mom. We'll get the Mother's Day thing. And we realized like, you know, like I'm not there's no racism here. I'm whatever. I'm woke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like aggressive. Listen, I won't let my kids marry their own race. I'm
for the verboten.
I'm as woke as it gets.
Yeah.
But we realized like just this hint of inappropriateness and like little just mild amount of you know stereotype and old tropes is we couldn't say the word bonsai in like a non-offensive way. It was just so fun to say because it was this old Japanese man who was selling these bonsai trees out of his van.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, "Oh, bonsai." And he would say it like that, "Bonsai tree." And then there was a little one and he's like, "Oh, baby bonsai." And so for 4 days, Sultan and I would just go, "Bonsai." A bonsai.
I like to imagine that dude was actually Filipino and he was just like, he was also doing a character.
But he's a good salesman.
He's just like, you know what, I got to lean into this. Born in Glendale.
Anyways, that's not, Coronado is not like that. Coronado is just, this is the rich island community.
Yeah.
That's like, let's drive golf carts.
Yeah.
Which is a little much.
Yeah. And I just to be clear, I do not live here.
No, you work here.
I have to leave. They have a siren.
You sell these people their escrow.
And every time at sundown,
you have a siren.
The normies have to leave.
Everyone under 40 and of not a certain racial and or socioeconomic demographic.
Get out.
That's very funny. I actually really like it out here, except this is where my daughter got stung by that stingray.
Yeah, the very helpful lifeguard.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in to this episode.
Yeah.
We have a really fun one today with Trenton Davis. Trenton is a stand-up comedian, real road dog, real guy who's just out there doing it, and a guy that I've known for a while. You can follow him on the socials at Trenton Comedy. And, you know, some of these conversations that we have, you know, my goal in these conversations is to talk to people about what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so if we can talk about family things, fantastic. And what you've probably already noticed if you've been listening for any amount of time is comedians love talking about comedy.
Yeah.
Because we're narcissistic, and that just means we're talking about ourselves. But this one is one of those where we talk about chasing dreams and balancing a family life and comedy and road gigs. And, you know, Trenton is a guy who can definitely tell stories. You know, in that you'll get to know him a little bit of his story of with his daughter and being a comedian and working the road and all that kind of stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Trenton. A couple small little things of business that we need from you guys, our listeners. One is we need a name for you guys.
For the listeners.
For the listeners. I don't know. There's nothing like one of my favorite podcasts is Pete Holmes. You Made It Weird. He calls them the weirdos.
Sure.
You know, the WTF. He has a bunch of different ones for that. But like, I don't the Don't Make Me's or.
The Don't Make Me sounds like a 60s like psychedelic like surf band. Donnie and the Don't Make Me's.
That's not bad, actually. The Don't Make Me's, the Don'ts. You know, it's I don't. There's not an obvious one there.
No.
But I believe in you guys. So tweet at us at Don't Make Me Come Back There. Message us on Instagram. I'm at Dustin Nickerson. And send us emails. Don't Make Me Come Back There at gmail.com. We do listen and respond to those and read those. And like, for example, a good amount of you said you want another episode with Vicky Barbalek. We're recording another one with her next week.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. So we need a name for you guys. So give us a name. Also, we release episodes every Tuesday, and we are going to release an episode on Christmas. However, we want to do a little bit different of an episode where you guys just send Steven and I questions, holiday questions or things you want to talk about or stories or about us or they can be funny holiday stories that you guys have that we can just laugh about and share. We want it to be a little more of a communal thing. I don't have a name for you guys, so I don't know what to even call you.
Yeah.
But it'll be down the road. Sometimes we will just have episodes with just Steven and I, and this will be our first one on the day of our Messiah's birth, 1225. Yep, that's a car you hear in the parking garage probably because, again, we are in a parking garage. So send us those over the next 2 weeks, and we will release that episode on Christmas Day to give you something maybe kind of therapeutic as you drive to Christmas happy and sad away because you fought with your parents or whatever. Now, Stephen, you had there's been some rains down here.
Yes.
And you had some flooding.
For the second year in a row, my house is flooded to two different spots.
And you own this house.
I own this house.
You bought that and the escrow.
Yes.
And there was Do you have flood insurance?
No. No.
Bro.
I didn't realize that until after. And you know what's funny is that when
flood
my house.
Flood me once. Shame on you.
Flood me twice. Yeah. Shame on everyone else.
Shame on do.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I had to do there's water past my ankles. In the front yard and in the side yard, and I had to sandbag. My wife was in the kitchen. She's like, I was in the bedroom just like
where
scrolling.
She belongs.
Also, there's no other space in my house. You can only be in the kitchen or in the bedroom because our house is so small. So she was in there and she's like, hey, get over here, get over here. And I thought it was like a spider. You know, I thought it was something goofy. And then I'm like, I ignored her for a solid 30 seconds. Finally, I went out there, and she's like trying to bail this water out, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was, so here's a note for all the husbands out there. Listen to your wife.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to your wife, because even if it was a spider, maybe it was a,
Did the food get ruined?
Room.
Did anything go wrong?
No, it was pretty, it was maybe only like an inch into the front part of the house.
Well, even if it would have, I think your food would have been okay, because if I understand correctly, ever since they became a sponsor, you keep all of your food in Munchie Mugs.
Every ounce. Every ounce, every grain of rice.
Everything is in the Munchie
Mug. Ketchup is in the Munchie Mug.
Now, I don't know if the Munchie Mug is flood proof, but I do know that it is spill proof.
It is spill proof, yeah.
And it has a soft little thing at the top
there.
Yeah,
two layers of overlapping fabric.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're not going to cut your hand. It's BPA free. Mm-hmm. This is the best no spill cup on the market, folks.
By far.
And if you guys order through us, you go to the website and you type in Don't Make Me.
Yeah.
You get 25% off of your order
mm-hmm.
and you get free shipping. So check that out, guys. You have some time before Christmas to go get yourself a Munchie Mug, and you will save some money, and if your house floods, your food will be safe. I don't think that Kathleen at Munchie Mug will approve of that.
Yeah, we can't sign off on that, but I can say I work for them, and I've worked for them at from baby shows, and I'm telling you, check out it on the website. The minute people look at it and they see what the design is,
yeah,
you're going to know it's the best
Munchie Mug,
snack
the best
out there.
Spill-proof cup there is.
For
MunchieMug.com. So check that out. How's the general December for you? Oh, yeah, before I get San Diego listeners, 12/28, I'm going to be headlining at the Comedy Palace. I need you guys to come out to that. We have two shows at 7:30 and 9:30, mm-hmm. So make sure you come out to that. Also, for you folks out in Wisconsin, I'm going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin, January 3rd. Through 5th, so at Skyline Comedy Club. So those are some upcoming comedy headlining dates you guys need to come to. But in general, so you guys got through Thanksgiving, what are you doing for the holidays?
Nothing. We're staying in town.
What do you guys celebrate? Because the dad's Jewish, the half and half.
No, I mean my mom is part Jewish, but she's not.
Okay, you're not double. You didn't do.
We're
like
not double dipping.
We're not doing Hanukkah.
No, we're not
Christmas.
Double dipping. Now, nor are we doing Kwanzaa. We're just doing straight.
You have the option.
Straight Christmas, just straight Christmas all the time.
Cricketmas. Cricket-mas. It's a discount one you can get for the month rate. Cricket Wireless.
Yeah, just doing just straight Christmas.
Okay, what do you do? You staying home?
Yeah, we're gonna go to my mom's house. I mean, my one brother lives in Northern California. He's not coming down, so just the one one brother with a baddest nephew. So that's gonna be fun.
Oh, he's got the bad kid. Yeah. You know what? He can lay the sandbags if you guys flood again.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, we got some work for you to do. Well, I am happy to report to everyone. Well, and this is good news, bad news. For many of you guys know, one of our sponsors is the rec center that I used to work at.
Yeah.
The gym that I attend,
yes.
The Salvation Army Croc Center in Central San Diego. We are doing the Maintain, Don't Gain, which is between Thanksgiving and New Year's. You don't put on any weight. You don't have to lose any weight. Just stay the same, Nickerson. I'm up 1 pound.
Yeah.
Which, considering I've been on the road for most of that.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Only as this is why I love this gym. This is why I love this rec center. It has fun. Like it's not like some of the gyms. This was a point of contention with me of like some of the gyms are like way too loose on your quote unquote fitness goals.
Sure.
They're like here's some pizza. You're like, okay, now I understand what you're doing here, but
yeah.
This is bad.
Right.
But be reasonable, you know. And that's what I like about the Croc Center. It's one of like it's a good like you know. No judge zone. You got some people in pretty good shape. You got some seniors. It's like value, good rates. You know, all the facilities are there. The pool is there. They have things like the play care option, which is like you can check your kids in for 90 minutes while you go work out and play basketball.
Okay. Pools, not like overnight.
Not overnight. Okay. No, that's the camp. But they do have day camps during the summer
there
that
you
can send in most of the day.
Boom.
So there you go. Also, they have the ice arena. Church, they've got stinking just all different birthday party rentals. It's an amazing facility. You can go to sd.croccenter.org and check out everything that they have to offer. And again, the only, realistically, the only gym in America you might see me at. So.
Yeah.
Plus or minus.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good. I don't know if there's someone who is like a fan in Riverside that's like, I'm joining.
Yeah.
I'm coming down five
like
days a week.
A pilgrimage, yeah.
Yeah. You'll see me there swimming most mornings.
Yeah.
By mornings, I mean 1 p.m. And I mean most.
A Nickerson morning.
Yeah, most being the mornings that I am not on the road. But you're a lot this month. All right, we got to go. You got to go back to work.
Yeah, I got to get this. Esco's not going to sell themselves.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, see you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Trenton Davis.
Hey, what's up, Dustin Nickerson?
How are you, my friend?
Oh, I am good.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
From?
This is a perfect way to start this
Excellent.
Podcast. I have my daughter every Tuesday and every other weekend.
Okay.
And so today is obviously Tuesday because
right.
We're doing the stats. Pew, pew, pew.
You should have brought her, man. It's an all-age show.
Yeah.
I mean.
I can't have her out until...
You're still trying to be a good father.
I'm trying my hardest, and so, what that means is I have a day job. You know that I still got my day job. I grab her at noon, and we do nonstop whatever from noon until 6 p.m.
What'd you do today?
So today, today was a little different because today I had to do a lot of day job work.
Right.
So I went to this play place called Love to Play.
Okay.
That has a has Wi-Fi. And I commandeered two tables.
Yeah, this is the ultimate parent hustle move.
It is, dude.
Yeah.
She had a ball because she has, it was no screen. It wasn't like I said, hey, sit here and watch my iPad for 4 hours.
Right.
No. We went in, we got food. We didn't get there till 2 because I was running around. We got in at 2. She found a friend by 2:03.
Is she social? Is she like that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. She's like, Daddy, I need a friend. I'm going to go make a friend. Hi, I'm Harlan. And so she
ran. You're like, not that friend. Yeah. Not that one. You need to be a little more selective.
Well, it's cool now because at least for now they're all boys.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all boys. And so so she was there. And literally, like, the owner was super cool. He let me plug in. And he gave me the personal Wi-Fi to the business account.
You got the good Wi-Fi.
You got the good Wi-Fi, the A-plus Wi-Fi. And I knocked out work for a strong 2.5 hours. Understand, when I work from home, what I do in 2.5 hours is equivalent to somebody else's 8-hour day.
Sure. Yeah, you're just crazy productive.
You're just productive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that was, how about you, man? How was your day?
Good. Good. It was, what was today? Tuesday. I had a rare show last night. I don't usually do Mondays, but Monday had Madhouse had a show last night, so I got home a little later, and then I had to do radio for my show in Green Bay this weekend.
Okay.
So, you know, I had to get up at 6 a.m. and, like, be on.
Oof.
And the radio guy's like, hey, you sound a little tired. I was like, bro, you know it's 6 a.m. you know how time zones work.
Yeah.
And you know comedians operate on vampire hours.
Yeah, just...
So I did that, and then anytime you're going back to sleep, it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah, I wanted to dive into, you know, I think that a lot has been said of the Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hours, the, you know, you'll become an expert in anything, you know, if you just dive into it.
Yeah.
That, to me, is severely handicapped
when
you throw children into the mix. And even though I have more kids than you, I have... I hope this doesn't come across as insane. I have kind of a more traditional, stable home, and then I have a wife who can watch the kids.
Yes.
I don't have days like what you said to me today, where you're like, you know, you're 100% in charge of the childcare on Tuesdays and every other weekend.
Right.
That affects what you can do. That affects bookings. That affects, you know, the work that you can and can't do.
Right.
And whether it's your day job or, you know, so my situation is different, but they're uniquely challenging in their own ways.
100%. I would argue, and this is going to sound a bit pessimistic. Keep in mind, I'm out of a relationship just over a year, but we're still going through custody, so it still feels fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking. I said this the other day when I had my daughter for the whole weekend, and then I gave her to her mother on Sunday. I said, if two people can really get along, co-parenting is the shit. Because you get 3 or 4 days of break.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Imagine your wife getting 3 days every week of break.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how she...
If she listens to this, we're getting a divorce. Because she... <It's> just, you're like selling a commercial to her right now. Imagine. 3 to 4 days.
I'm not selling a divorce. You know what I'm selling? I'm selling you guys staying married, living separately. That's what I'm selling. Why do you have to get a divorce? Don't f*** it up. Your sex life will be better. I'm not telling you to get a divorce. I'm 100% saying move out. And I'm only half
get a duplex.
Serious. Get a
Maybe,
duplex.
Yeah, share a wall.
What was that movie? It was a movie. Oh, no, it was Divorce, where they're like, the kids can't come upstairs on my day or whatever, downstairs.
I never saw it.
It was a show on HBO. Whatever, it's Sarah Jessica Parker after Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty good. Well, whatever. My point is, dude, I'll get 3 days or 4 days with Harlan, and I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
But now those 3 or 4 days, I'm very focused. Like, I don't take any shows.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's the weekend, I'm not doing my day job. A lot of times, I'll either leave my phone at home or cut my phone off, so I'm focused because I know I don't get another 3 days
mm-hmm.
for another week. Like 10 days. Does that make sense? Because it's every other week.
You're 100% in.
I'm 100% in. But after those 3 days of 100% in, I am exhausted. Right? And so then I'll have Monday off, and then Tuesday I get her again, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, blah, blah, blah. So now I take bookings every other week.
Mm-hmm.
But those 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe the beginning of Friday, because normally I'm comedy, it feels good. Mm. And I don't think it's any different than when married women say, honey, take the kids for a weekend. And you come back and they're re-energized.
Yeah.
Right?
Refreshed, yeah.
Now imagine being refreshed like that every week, mm-hmm. or every other week.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to file. I think you've sold me.
I don't want to sell.
Here's what when you say it, I'm reminded of the folly of ever comparing circumstances. Because to your point, you know, you have your goals, you have your objectives, you have your desires, you have your dreams.
Yeah.
And you will make them work in your circumstance.
Yeah.
And not one circumstance is necessarily better. And sometimes the more challenging circumstance actually makes you better, because you have to be more creative, you have to work harder, you have to sacrifice more for yourself, you're getting less sleep. Sometimes when I talk to comics that don't have kids and I hear their life, sometimes I'll covet it. I'm like, oh my gosh, how much sleep did you get?
Yeah.
You stayed out and you can take gigs all the time. You don't have to say no to anything.
Right.
You don't have to run this by any. You don't have any of these kind of concerns. And then at the same time, I'll look at mine and I go, I think that the challenges that I have, and I don't mean to refer to my wife and kids as challenges. they are challenges. The circumstances that I have make you kind of rise to the occasion.
And 100%. Make
you fun. You know what I mean by that?
100%. Yeah. And I think as we both try to be good dads, we learn this whole thing, life, right? This whole thing is a learning process. And so I'll be honest, 2 years ago when I was with my ex at the time, I wasn't good at balancing. Now, part of that was the relationship was bad and I didn't want to be at home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now, because now I want to be with my daughter, I don't have to deal with the ball and chain of being with my ex. I can be with my daughter without being with my ex.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to do that and I want to do it well. And so we learn how to balance. Like both of us, you and I both this year starting a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's almost like that part in My Cousin Vinny was like, let me see what else you can pile on. You got a day job, you got a wife, let me
blah, blah, blah. Not enough.
Blah, blah, blah. Not enough. Yeah. Let me see what else I can possibly pile on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn. And when you watch Kevin Hart interviews or any of these guys that are great and they have kids and all that stuff, you see their day starts at like 4 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
And and I think that's what it takes. I really do. I believe it takes this level of saying and being committed to saying, when I'm with my wife, it's wife time. When I'm with my kids, it's
Absolutely.
Kid time.
Yeah.
Now, with the wife and kids, yeah, we'll make an exception. Somebody goes to the hospital. So, of course, birthday, yes.
Absolutely.
But let's say the other 80% of the time, we're focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not perfect there. I'm not there yet, but it's definitely getting me there. Being 40, when I look at somebody like Taylor Thompson, who's killing the game right now, I just say, well, I wasn't ready for that level of success at 22.
At 24, 23,
24, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
She's a child star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, I would be drunk. I'd probably be dead.
You'd be Bieber in it.
I don't know if I'd live.
Yeah.
I think I'd be on crack and or dead.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because
of the crack. I'd probably
or
weigh
something else.
20 pounds.
Because of the crack.
You'd be interviewing me like this. Oh, look at Trenton.
He doesn't look healthy, but he's very funny. He does very well. It's great. He's dying of the crack.
Yeah, yeah. 100%, man. I don't know that I would have made it.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't know what I mean.
It doesn't help in any way to compare. You have to look at your situation.
You have to.
And, you know, I was talking to someone about that today, that, you know, for most of us, and I feel this more and more of my career, that it's less, and I think that this is true of whatever you're chasing,
yeah.
whatever dream you're chasing, whatever entrepreneurial goal that you have, it's you don't punch through a wall.
No.
And then you have your breakthrough.
Yeah.
It's Andy and Shawshank.
Yes.
It's chipping.
Oh, that's
just
great.
Chipping.
Oh, that's great, man.
Just, what, 19 years?
Yes.
And then you got to crawl through 500 yards of crap.
Yes.
And then maybe.
Then maybe you get to Zay Watanao.
Yeah, exactly.
Then maybe. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, I talk about this dream all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, our dreams change. And I don't say you lose them, but they change as we get older.
Mm.
Like, right? And so now I truly, and I love what Kevin Hart is doing, but I don't know that I want the what it requires to make $77 million. Right? A year. Yeah. I don't know that I want that.
That's like an imaginary number to me.
Right?
You could just said a kabillion jillion. How much I want to make a kabillion jillion a year. That's how much $77 million
that's
is.
What it is.
Yeah.
But
and it can run out. There's been plenty of people have ran out of that amount
of
money. But.
Now let me ask you this, be 100% honest. Living in Temecula, right?
Hmm.
What can I truly not do and enjoy for $5 million a year?
Yeah. That's all you want, just a measly
five. I know that sounds like
at $5 million, you could buy Temecula.
Yeah, right.
I think you would.
I could be the mayor. But my point is, I can have whatever house I want for the most part.
Yeah,
my daughter's gonna go to whatever private school or charter school.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have really nice vacations.
And that's what you pull right now, right?
No,
it's $5 million.
Yeah, right. I'm at
from laughs
what
in
is,
Tucson.
What is 1% of that? Is it 50,000? Maybe yeah. I'm a little over 1%.
That's the best comedy condo story. Have we told you that story?
Oh,
you, this is so.
Oh God.
Side note. Let's just do this. The last time Trent and I worked together, we did it. Sorry, was in Tucson.
Yes.
And they had a former manager there, Gary Hoodie.
Yes.
Good dude.
Great dude.
Great dude. He's
comedy staple in Arizona, Texas, El Paso.
Yeah. Passed away in the comedy condo.
Yes. This is listen. Let me say, he didn't pass away like 20 years ago in the comedy condo. He passed away like maybe
like
2 months.
Like November.
Yeah, yeah. Like 3 months ago. Like his was still in the condo.
And it still is. And when I go, because I was there a couple months ago and
yes.
I was like, these were his DVDs.
Yes. Yeah.
This was, he
was there.
He watched Balls of Fury, the ping pong movie. Why is that there? Who bought that? It was like, I want the Christopher Walken ping pong movie.
Somebody like Zoltan would buy that out of a thrift. No, you would buy that
and
out of
sell
a thrift
it.
Shop and sell it the
yeah.
following day.
I did that weekend.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of stickers.
Yeah. I was bartering. But the great moment of that is, and God bless the staff there. They kept that condo.
Yes.
And they want the comics to stay there.
Yeah.
And Trenton, I wouldn't say you refused. You opted out.
Yeah, well.
And the conversation that Casey, the manager said, was, Trent, it's not a problem. He wasn't dead there that long.
And if anybody ever hears this, the management staff at Laughs is one of the best management staffs.
Oh, I'll sing their praises.
I love them. I've
yeah.
recorded my album there, right?
Yeah, no, it's a great club.
But, it, you know.
And they're right. I know what they're saying.
Yes.
But it's just an amazing situation. That is there any other career in the world where you would even be put in that situation?
No.
Where there's a condo that's a shared space
right.
and the manager also lives there?
Yeah.
I just like that he thought that the time was the issue.
Yeah.
Like as if he died and they ripped him out 20 seconds later, but like, it's fine.
It's fine, right. Right.
You know, but it's like it has to be an hour before it's haunted. That's when the spirit releases after an hour.
That's the standard operating procedures on haunting a house. Dude, it was weird. I stayed there. I didn't stay there the first night, and I stayed there the second night, and it was weird. I just went back. I was just there. It all runs together. I want to maybe Cinco de Mayo. No, it's because Cinco de Mayo is this week. I don't know when. Oh, yeah. No, I don't know when.
I can't. I don't know what I did last week.
Yeah, but I was there, and it was great.
Yeah, it's
there.
Wonderful.
And this is the thing, too.
Yeah, I stayed there last time,
what
too.
What Dustin's
it was fine.
Not telling you is Dustin wasn't staying there. He's brought his family.
Yeah.
And so if you were there, if I had another comic to talk to and like we
I won't
beers,
stay at any comedy condo by myself.
You won't, really?
No.
Why?
No.
It just feels weird.
It's
so what do you do if the feature doesn't stay there?
I'll find I'll stay in a cheap hotel. Or that's I've done that, but usually the cheap hotel, or if I have a friend, in that area, or like I'll do it one night, and then I'll sleep in the airport the night before I leave,
really,
something like that, and it's not for me.
You.
I'm not sleeping anyways if I'm there. I'm just sitting up, just like, is it gonna be a murder? Is it gonna be a
comedy
a possession? Is it gonna be a haunting? What's it gonna be?
For people that don't know. Comedy condos are typically the worst place. It's hard for me to put it because I don't want to throw comics under the bus. But listen, the comic that's in a comedy condo has not made it. Okay? So that means he or she is probably making less than $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, and
no shame. We're talking about ourselves.
We're talking
right
about
now.
Ourselves. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not.
I've got three condos on the books in the next 6 months. I'm.
Oh.
Yeah.
When those
I got
condos,
a Reno condo.
Oh,
I got a,
please
I got
don't
a,
tell me it's Reno Tahoe.
It's Reno Tahoe. I got a Nashville condo, which apparently Zany's is supposed to be a nice one.
Yeah, Zany's is good.
But it's
Well, let me say this to you. Reno Tahoe.
Yeah.
Is not a condo. It's the guy's
it's
second
his house.
Bedroom.
Yeah. Gary, it, yeah, I know him.
Have you done it before?
Yeah.
Okay. It's
his house.
It is the worst comedy condo story I've ever had in my life.
It's a new one, though. He moved.
Oh.
It's nicer.
Is it?
Yes.
It was the one by the lake where you sit.
It's not nice.
It's just nicer.
It's nicer. It was, the first time I stayed there, and, you know, my man, if you're listening to this too, Wayne.
Oh, he's not. He's the weirdest person I've ever met, and he doesn't wake up until 1 a.m.
Yeah,
and he calls you.
And Wayne, that was the same thing. Oh, we'll put you up in the condo, and then I got there, and he came home, and I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
and it was real, real dirty. There was a lot of dog. The dog kept coming in on my bed, like in the middle of the night.
It was the net. When I went into the condo, I'm going to tell two parts of the story because I don't care if I ever work there again. I've made a decision that I don't.
It was the condo, huh? That was that the tipping point?
Well, that and a little bit of him. But A, he said it was a condo. I get there and it was so dirty, I immediately left and went to Walmart and bought cleaning supplies and cleaned it. And didn't do a dent. Like, no matter how much I worked on it, I couldn't do a dent. Then he comes
you
in.
You painted.
I've tried everything.
Yeah, he put
he
it in a new
in
kitchen
and says,
cabinet.
My cleaning lady. Has been sick. I said, she must be dead. Right? She's not sick.
Cleaning lady.
She is dead. But it was so bad. I'm not making this up. So for the people that don't know, Reno from Temecula is every bit of 11, 12-hour drive.
Oh, yeah. It's a haul.
It was so bad. I finished the Saturday show at 11 p.m.
Drove home.
I was on the road to get home by 12 p.m. I was like, I'm getting the out of here.
Yeah, I've done it.
All right?
Same thing. You're
it wasn't
like,
worth
it's
it.
Not worth it.
You know where I slept that night? I got about 9 hours, got to a truck stop outside of Barstow and chose that over that condo.
Believe in your dreams, people.
This is it, baby.
Now, let me ask you this. This is because I think this is an easy segue. When you're doing that, is your mindset, oh my gosh, this is awful, this is terrible, what am I doing? Or are you able to romanticize it a little bit of saying this is the 10,000 hours, this is the grind, or maybe both?
Three things.
Okay.
And so both and one. One, I think we have to learn to say no. One of the hardest things for a feature comic to do is say no. But my manager said, Trenton, you know when you'll become a headliner? When you say no to feature dates. He said, if they can get you for 300, they're going to keep getting you for three.
Right. Because there's so many. The features are more of at a premium.
Way.
Yeah.
Way more. Right. And so it's hard. It's hard to say no. It's hard for us to say no. We've been for at least 9 years. We've been scratching and clawing to say yes. That we've never got more yeses than we do bookings. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We never. Right. And so, but eventually, you just have to say no. So that taught me to say no. B, yes, I romanticize it and say one day I'll be on Joe Rogan's podcast and I'll tell this story and it'll
not
be
yet.
Great.
Now you're on my podcast.
Now I'm on Dustin. I'm moving up though. and so I romanticize it and then I don't know what the third one. You said both. Oh, and then I kind of mixed the first two.
Yeah.
It teaches me something.
Yeah.
It teaches me something.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what I do is I, you know, especially my first 3 or 4 years, I slept in so many airports.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And then, but even as you'll tell someone about it and you'll see kind of their admiration and respect for it.
Yeah.
And you'll go, no, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that goes into as well, you know, the family thing of like, you know, especially when you have a family, I mean, you are trying to maximize your net dollar on the road.
Yes.
You're rolling into town. And I go to Subway and I buy 2 roasted chicken breasts at footlongs, and that's my next 4 meals.
Yeah.
For $12.
Yes.
You know, because I have to maximize the net dollar
that
on my way home.
Bringing on. Dude, is it me? Comic? No, I know it's not me. All of us. We've gotten used to if the club feeds you, we have switched it to now I can go off 1 meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
right? And the club gives me, it's going to, so rather than wake up at 9, I'll wake up at 1. I can eat
because it's closer to dinner time.
It's closer to dinner time. I can eat at 2:33. By the time 8:30, 9 o'clock comes, I can have that second meal. So I've only paid for one meal.
If the club feeds you, I will roll into that town. I will buy a thing of oatmeal.
Yes.
And a thing of frozen blueberries.
Yeah.
And that's all my breakfast, and then the club eat, and so I've got all my meals.
Yeah.
For $4.
And that's our life.
And I'm still losing money but, if I'm featured.
Yeah, we are. But you know what I say? I do, and I really believe this, at least for me, having a child, I'm glad, quote unquote, whatever that means, I haven't made it before she's old enough to acknowledge what making it means. Because I want her to see, not that she's ever with me on the road, I want her to see the difference.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I want her to see the difference. I want her also to realize that chasing your dream doesn't stop at graduating college. We never talk about this, and I need to make this into a joke, and I promise I'm not on this.
No, work it out. I don't care.
We need more people that are motivating 20 to 60-year-olds than we do people that are motivating high school students. How many motivational speakers do we have, and they're always going to high schools?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty much just Gary Vee. He's the only one out there doing it.
Right, right. We need people talking to, and I really say 20, but I would say 30 to 60, right?
Right.
30 to 60, and nobody's, and this is sad, 30 to 60 is the time that more people quit on their dreams. They quit on themselves, and nobody does it out loud, but it's little small things. It's, you know what, I'm just going to go from doing, I know a guy, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was in a band, and he was like, yeah, I have my daughter. I can't do it as much, man. I'll do it a little bit when I can. And then I ask him about it. Man, I hadn't done it in a while. You're slowly quitting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting when I talk to people about that a lot, too. They'll use that excuse. Like, oh, you know, well, I got the kid and I got the job. And I'm just looking at it. I'm like, all right, well, I guess you just don't want it that much.
Yeah.
You can say you want it.
Yes.
You know, but there's no getting around that. It's a pay-your-dues industry. It's a put-in-the-hours industry. Even the people that fast-track, I mean, they still grind somewhat.
Nope.
You know, there's no complete shortcut. And if they do, then they lack in some way.
Look, if you read the book Comedians, it said you either do it on the front end or you do it on the back end. But either way, you're going to do it, right? And we've both seen those people. I won't say a name. We've seen those people that they were already famous. Charlie Sheen, John Loves, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, I'm going to go into comedy. Jeremy Piven is the new one. I'm going to go into comedy. All right. You still got to do this 15 years.
Yeah.
You try to do it on the front end or do it on the back. I'd rather do it on the front end.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows me.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the reason I was glad Blake Griffin got traded, because those were just factory spots he was taking.
Yeah. and I never saw him with a dad.
I know. He was fine.
Yeah.
But he's famous.
Yeah.
It's a different animal.
It's a different animal. People know.
Like, I would go sit and I was like, that's Blake Griffin. I'm going to watch that. And I'm a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'd be into that.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I think you're right. I think that every career is like that.
Chris Rock has not been the number one comic in the U.S. any one year in the last 20 years.
Really?
But he's been in the top 10 or 20 every year in the last 20.
Yeah.
Right? I would argue you give me top 20 for 20 years, 30 years. I want that kind of longevity, right?
Right.
Well, I'm the top guy. Because even Eddie Murphy was top. Now he's been done for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? Chris Tucker was the top. Now he's done for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Williams, and I'm naming black comics, but same thing, right? Dane
Well, I
Cooper.
Think it speaks to what your goals are. You know, because Chris Rock, to me, I don't know what his goal was when he started, you know, being in stand-up comedy.
Right.
But, you know, whatever people's goals, people have different intents. Some people don't want to be, take acting. Some people want to just be great actors to be famous and be on TV and get money and those kind of things. And other people just want to be great actors. Look at Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman, anyone in the acting world would say he's the best we have.
Yeah.
You know, him and There Will Be Blood guy who wins all every time he does a movie.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Day,
they win every time that he does a movie. They're like, all right, just give him the Oscar because he's so much better. And their goals are very different. They're more reclusive. You don't see them. They're not taking selfies on Instagram.
Speaking of that, what are your goals?
Well, I mean, to speak candidly, I mean, I want to be when, you know, at the end of my career and Rolling Stone's doing list of who some of the best comedians are of all time, I want to be on that list.
Yeah,
I want to be the best.
Yeah.
Not the best, but I want to be, because there's a certain level of subjectivity
You know, we're favored. To me, Chris Rock is the best comedian of all time.
Yeah.
I think he exceeded his influences. I think his longevity, I think his material, it just exceeded what was before him and exceeded his peers.
Yeah.
And the level of kind of truth that he was dealing with on, you know, going at every topic and every gender and every race and just totally whatever, you know, it's kind of the truest sense of authentic comedy of this is my thought. And he kind of paved the ways for guys like Bill Burr who do the same thing.
Yeah.
So there's a level of where you go, well, who's better, Bill Burr or Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld? Well, at that point, it's just your opinion.
It's just opinion at that point.
I want to be in the point where everyone goes, well, that's just your opinion. Yeah. But objectively, we can say he's one of the greatest of all time.
I love that. I'm going to say two things. All this time knowing you, I didn't realize that you and I both had the same favorite comedian. Because I thought I was the only one that thought Chris Rock was the best. And maybe it's because we're both dads.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Maybe it's because we're both dads, even though I'm not in a relationship.
Because the big piece of chicken really resonates. Right? That's all it gets is the big piece of chicken.
My parents have been married 49 years, and I came from that space. Everything, and watching Chris Rock, to me, I watched him mature and change and develop, and his comedy matured and changed. It was almost a Jay-Z of comedy, right?
Yeah.
And Jay-Z's now talking about painting. He's rapping about paintings and net wealth. This is the dude that was talking about big pimpins. He's talking about paintings and net, and that's what Chris Rock has done. Now he's even, the thing he did about divorce was so great.
Oh my God.
It's so good. I didn't go through a divorce. I went through a breakup. I don't even want to talk about my breakup stuff. I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
He covered it.
He covered it so well.
That's to me like the same thing when like I've been wanting to do a bit on gun control.
Yeah.
But then I'll go back and watch Jim Jeffries 20 minutes on. I think he covered it.
What do you do?
I think it's done.
Yeah. I agree.
I think he just milked it. That's a dry utter.
It's like a Trump joke at this point. The only other thing we could do this is truly offer another a perspective and an opinion and say, look, I don't want this to sound like blah, 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 but it's just my opinion.
Right.
Right. Because I do think we still get to have an opinion.
Sure, of course,
If not, we'll run out of topics.
I'm just saying he perfectly almost articulated my
opinion. Yeah,
and did it in a funnier way than I can. I was like, all right, well, time to move on.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
I think that the reason that I resonated with Chris Rock is because I grew up in a really diverse neighborhood, mostly white, black, and Mexican, and Chris Rock, by the time I was in junior in high school, was the only comedian that would bring everybody together.
Yeah, yeah.
Black, white, mix. Everybody would laugh.
Yep.
And, you know, I understand that some people, you know, it's not for him because it's not clean or raunchy or whatever it may be. Like, but it would make, you know, kids who live in the same neighborhood but have completely different home lives and have completely different, you know, upbringings, even though we're in the same proximity, and we would all laugh. And, you know, Seinfeld didn't cross that line that other people did. And that, to me, was what made him just kind of that greatest. This voice crosses all lines.
I would agree.
Who doesn't like Chris Rock? You know?
I would agree. I couldn't agree more, man.
Yeah, and he's another guy who, you know, like, you know, people forget that, you know, he was like 19 when Born Suspect came out. That was his first album. I think it was his first album. He was young. He recorded it in a club in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, it was the Mayor's on Crack bit.
Oh,
Mayor's on crack. You know, and it was the first time that crack became, you know, the thing that he said. Mayor. And Bring the Pain was probably 10 years later.
Yeah.
And,
what I love about him is he waits. His last album before this Netflix, if you remember, was right before Obama was elected.
Mm.
That's all, because remember he had the joke about we ain't ready for a black president.
He's not rushing the every year, the every 2 year.
No, and to answer that question about what do we want for a career, I think I'm going to be very specific. I want to have a high quality of life without giving up my privacy.
Mm.
So there's a medium, right?
I don't want to be not Kevin Hart.
No, it's not. It's not Will Smith. It's more like Don Cheadle pre Iron Man. Pre-Iron Man, Don Cheadle could be here.
Yeah.
He could be right here. We wouldn't even know.
Like,
right?
That guy's kind of old to be in the crowd. He's a younger crowd. What's that old guy doing here?
Right?
Don Cheadle's looked the same age for 25 years.
He's like Delroy Lindo.
Yeah.
You know him?
Yeah. Same idea.
Same thing. People don't know him.
Yeah.
People have no clue who he is. That's what I want, man. That's what I want. I mean, I want to be able to make, it's not even a dumb amount in comedy. I want to make
a kajillion billion.
No.
I want to own Temecula.
How much does, because I know Joe Rogan is famous. I'm not saying he's not. But Joe Rogan still has a normal life.
Probably less so now than he used to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Joe Rogan, that podcast is crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
But my comedy...
Because my non-comedy friends talk to me about Joe Rogan all the time.
All the time.
And a lot of time they don't even know he does stand-up.
No, that's fair.
You know?
My question is, how many people outside of when he's doing a UFC event, outside of when he does a UFC event, is he somewhere and people are just bugging him?
Right.
I mean, he talks about it.
Yeah, that's probably
so
true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not that level of,
yeah.
He's not Aziz.
Right,
you know,
right.
Wherever he goes, he's getting bothered. But there, I think that, yeah, he is kind of at that level where, I'm sure he gets recognized a lot.
I do, yeah.
You know, but yeah. Not constantly.
I don't know what that number is, and I'm afraid to put it out there,
yeah.
But $50,000 a show?
That's it. That's all I want.
That's not a lot, considering Kevin is doing a million a show.
That's insane.
That's
a million
pay what
a
the
show.
Market will bear.
Sometimes, if you ever had an amount, this happens. Sometimes someone will pay you an amount. I think it happened more like early in the career when someone would offer you like $100, and you'd be like, "I'm not worth that." The idea of making a million a show. Over these dumb jokes that we do. And sometimes you got to go work out a new joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And get paid a million. I was like, you know, I did last night. I headlined Madhouse and I was doing 30. And it was like a $50 show or whatever. And which, whatever, $50 on a Monday, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
And I felt bad at a couple points when he handed the check and I was like, worked out some new ideas because I was like, oh, no, this was a paid gig. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. If there were if I was getting paid $1 million,
this is how you have to look.
Take something from my stupid journal.
No. That's not. You're looking at it wrong,
and
Dustin.
Like if I had a bit that missed for 2 minutes, I'd be like, I just got paid $150,000 for that new joke to bomb.
No. That's the generous Dustin way of doing looking at it, and that really explains his heart, people. Thank you, Dustin. That is not the truth. You know what you're paying for when they give you $1 million a show? Those 9,999 hours that you didn't get paid.
Yeah.
That's what they're paying for.
Sleeping
in an airport eating oatmeals and blueberries.
It's not a bad meal.
Porridge.
I was going to say, you made it sound like I was just getting porridge out of the trash. Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
The oatmeal, the airports, that's a terrible, terrible sleep. I hear you on that.
And you and I laugh, but we talk about it, especially now with the YouTube and Instagram, blah, blah, blah. But literally, let's just do this simple math. We both go out, we work hard, and we get 5 million followers,
mm-hmm.
right? 5 million followers divided by 50, that's roughly, what is that? Not a million, a city.
I don't know what the
number
is. I tuned out as soon as you start doing math.
Okay, my point is, because at that point, you're only doing 30 shows a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Doesn't seem like enough.
Right? Well, I'm sorry, not 30 shows a year, 30 cities mm-hmm. a year, right? Let's do the math real quick. I just want to do this. I know this is boring, but we're going to do it. 30, so we're going to do 5 million followers, engaged followers, divided by 30 people. So that's 166,000. Now let's divide that by two, and that way we're saying we're doing 60 shows. So one show Friday, one show Saturday.
Right.
So it's 83,000. 83,000, right? So what we want out of this 83,000 is 10% to come to a show. So let's just say 8,000, and 8,000 people paid $20 a ticket. That's 160 grand you got.
It's insane.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're not asking for a lot.
Yeah.
We're asking for 8,000 people, which is not the civics. It's a small, I mean, it's not small, but it's, again, we're doing one show Friday, 4,000, another show Saturday, 4,000.
I think when you... I'm interested in the money. I'm more interested in the following.
Yes.
And what you're talking about, because what you've seen with, guys, what happened when you get the following, there's no more gatekeeper.
That's it.
You're
truly an entrepreneur.
Exactly. We're still in the stage right now. And I try and tell myself I had a shift this year of, you know, I would set up my objectives for the year, New Year's resolution. I want to get passed at this club. I want to start doing this. I want to headline this many dates. I want to make this. And I would set that and I would start and I would get frustrated that I wasn't reaching those goals.
Right.
But what I started to realize is I was setting up goals that had nothing to do with me because they're gatekeepers that I can't influence. So now my goals have changed to be only the things that I can influence, meaning I want to, you know, do this many sets.
Yeah.
I want to work on the act this much. I want to write this much a day. Yeah. I want to increase. I want to do this many posts. I want to build a mailing list. Yes. I want to start a podcast. These are things that are in my control.
Yes.
That's a shift, you know.
It's 100% a shift. I've shifted from being a independent contractor, which is really what we are. We're going to bring you in to do comedy.
100%.
So I want to be the owner, right? And in my head, it went from saying, I used to say this, I want to be able to do any club in America. Now it's shifted to, I don't want to do any club in America. That's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any club in America. If Kevin Hart does a club date, guess what? He lost money.
That's crazy.
If he does a club date, he lost money. Imagine if he did a club weekend, how much
he loses. Kevin Hart has reached that level of famous where he works out the new material in theaters.
In theater.
It comes down from stadiums.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, that's what I want to do.
No, dude, I hear you. That has been, you know, the gatekeepers eventually will then come to you.
Yes.
If you have, you know, the following, because then they want, and the game has changed, you know, not in my career lifetime, but in my lifetime, it went from networks and clubs saying, we recognize something in you, we will make a career for you.
Yes.
As opposed to us now, if you have a following and whatever it may be,
they
say, you help us.
Yes. 100%.
It's an interesting, let me ask you this. Let me shift real quick.
Yeah.
All the talk, you know, I love the shirt that you sell. It's never too late to pursue your dreams.
Yeah.
And you see it in the mirror. You talk about it on social media a lot. How do you talk to your daughter about it? And how old is she?
Yeah, so my daughter's 5, so she doesn't get it yet.
Yeah.
She doesn't get it yet.
But she sees it. So there's got to be, Daddy, where are you going? You know, like she knows what you do for a living.
She knows what I do. And sometimes the things that I don't give her credit for, because I think she's too young to get, she gets.
Mm.
So she now says, Daddy is famous. She now says, Daddy is on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And she really appreciates it. She really does. And so that's why, again, whatever level of success I get, she will have seen it grow.
Yeah.
And that's seriously at a core level, outside of food, water, shelter, protection. Other than that, the number one thing we can do as a parent is teach our children to never stop growing and reaching.
Mm.
I think, and this is not only a product of African-American families, I think it's a product of lower income families. And lower income families are just so focused on surviving that the idea of doing what you love is so far-fetched. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
if I don't have food, right? And so, and I'm not going to make this a whole historical anthropology, but so what happened, what slavery did for so many people, slavery and then Jim Crow and then just being broke, is it stopped an entire group of people of learning how to dream. And that is institutional racism. That is generational, right? And I love my parents to death.
It makes the dream language that much more symbolic.
It does. It does. And I think I have the best parents in the world, but my parents rarely sat me down and said, what do you love? Rarely sat me down and said, they sat me down, and God bless them, they did their best. They said, hey, go to college, and we're going to help you get to college and get a job and get married. And then after that, it was like, that's it.
Yeah.
And I did it at 24, and like, well, where's the rest of the map?
Yeah. They taught you, though, the other part that we're talking about, which is the sacrifice.
Yes.
And that's what I got from my single dad. I was raised by a single dad.
Okay.
And we never once talked about dreams or career. It was, you know, you go to college
because
no one in our family had.
Yeah.
My sister and I were the first two Nickersons to go to college.
Wow.
And I got better grades than her.
pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
But I still take that now because I saw the overtime that he works working for the airline union.
Yes.
So it's still there, but there was that other half that was lacking.
That's a great way to put it, because what I saw from my dad, what I got from dad is go to work every day. You're a man, go to work
and
every day.
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah.
Every day. And he was up early. He was an early riser. So he'd be by 6:30, he was gone.
Yeah.
I got that from dad. What I got from mom was more artistic and loving, and is more loving, and not loving, it's just different kind of ways to show, blah, blah, blah. But you're right. So it's ways that I can apply what they both have taught me, which is a ton.
Even if you're not thinking about it, it's even just there. You're not,
yeah, you know what? You just... My parents, Mr. Miyagi,
you need to call your parents right now.
I do.
And say, I was just talking to this guy, Dustin.
They taught me paint the fence. F*** them. They just Mr. Miyagi the shit out of me. They just waxed on, waxed off. I didn't even know it. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I see them this week. I'm in Greensboro. They're coming down. They're still super supportive.
Yeah, that's at 70 or 71.
Oh, dude, man. I do the Bahamas every year, and they've come down the last 2 years. We're just going to come.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, they're great. They're the best.
You know what you're on the hook now for, though, and I think about this as a parent.
Yeah.
Is I can't really be critical of my kids' career choices.
No.
I can't.
No.
I have to let them do whatever they want to do.
But then again,
because I'm up here telling jokes.
But isn't that the good? Isn't that freedom, though?
It is, but that's, it's also, I'm like, yeah, they might live with me for a while. Because that's the reality. I can't, that's the shift. I think our set is like, I'll teach you to work hard.
Yeah.
But I also understand that there'll be sacrifice involved and you need to care for it. But my childhood was like raised, you know, me and my sister worked at 16. As soon as you can get a job, you get a car, you're out of the house, you go to college,
wow,
never come back.
Really?
And it wasn't that
Where's
he didn't love
dad
us.
Where does your dad live
now? And with us.
Yeah. Does he?
He does. He sticks with us.
Wow. We switched this up.
I've never thought about that until right now. The man had hip surgery this week. I've been taking him back and forth from the hospital.
Okay.
Cleaning his wound.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And,
God almighty. Yeah, it's funny how things turn.
And he kicked me out at 18.
Did he? Oh, Dad.
Not really. I went to school.
How's the hip going? It's going to be time to get a job pretty soon.
Yeah, it's in there. It's that. I can't budge that thing. I can't. Oh. Yeah, it's. But that's the thing. Like, if my kid says, you know, I don't want to go to college, I don't know that that's for me. I want to be an artist. I want to be a musician. I want to be whatever it may be. I have to encourage it.
Yeah, well,
I can help put some rails around it.
I say this, and I'm gonna suggest it over and over to my daughter, but not just at 18. I'm gonna do it the entire journey. Is figure out what you love, and sometimes that path is a whole bunch of traveling on daddy's dime, and you know, go and volunteer. So I heard a saying, and I can't remember who said it. Say, I want to make enough where my kids don't have to work, but not so much that they don't work.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I hear that. And let's be honest, that's what we did at open mics. We were just volunteering.
That's it, 100%. Dude, come on. The first.
That's a better way to put it.
The first 6 years.
I'm not going to open mic tonight. I'm volunteering. I'm supporting the community.
That's it, 100%.
I can log some hours.
I remember getting an argument, and I know we got to close. I remember getting an argument with a girl. She said, why do you go to open mics and do free shows? And I said, because if I don't do free shows, I will have no paid gigs ever.
If I don't go to free shows, I have no shows.
Zero.
There's no shows. I mean, we still work for free.
Yeah.
Constantly.
They didn't get it. But what you really, what you.
The only thing that I'll tell them not to do is don't be a comedian. That's the only one.
No.
Listen, but I went this route, and unless you need this, don't do this.
Well, and that's the thing. Daughters, especially, whatever you tell them not to do, they do. Don't date a black guy. They do. Right?
I don't tell them that, man.
Please don't, because they will bring one home. I've seen it happen. I've been.
It seem like that's a problem. Like, that's my biggest fear.
No. I'm just saying, I've been daughter's revenge for a lot of girls. All right? For a lot of girls. I'm like, well, I'm bringing you home strictly to piss
that. What's up, Mr. Anderson? Yeah. Did you really like hood it up too? Like, you come in like a do-rag? You just kind of, or did you come in like, you know, nicely?
Well, it was high school.
You're wearing an NWA shirt.
No, I was more like Urkel in high school.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I wasn't cool. Okay. I mean, I thought I was, but I wasn't cool.
That's hard to believe.
I wasn't.
There's no one better dressed in comedy than you.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Thank you.
I see your mug with your little hat on the side of the Laugh Factory on Sunset, wearing his little fedora.
Yeah, I've gotten into it now. I'm into my, and it's a part of your brand and all that now. So now it's known.
This is it.
Yeah, but you're going for the, you know, working man's white guy. There's not a working man's black comic. Who is it? Who's the working man's black comic?
I don't know.
MCL. Who?
Mark Christopher Lawrence?
No, I mean famous. Mark. No, that sounded bad. Mark is famous. Mark is way more work done, 1,000 times more than
the working man's.
I meant on a level of comedy.
Godfrey.
You think?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're just saying black names at this point. Yeah.
Is that even a comic?
Yeah, Godfrey. Yeah. Godfrey.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Godfrey's hilarious, by the way. If you hadn't seen
his
special.
Dude, that guy kills.
God almighty, his special was so good.
Dude, those seller comics, those New York guys, there's just like a different level chops
there. I saw him do Sacramento and do three different hours in the same weekend. Well, Godfrey, what are you
saying?
What are you doing right now? You just trying to make us feel bad?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And all three were great.
So your third best hour is better than my best hour.
Right. Ever.
Time to keep grinding.
10 years. Yeah, that's what I need to do. Like
you do have those guys. Well, you're going to write. I'm sure that you do.
I'm going to write every day. I need to write as much as I. But I'm not going to make excuses. I need to write.
Right. That's it. I mean, I'll tell you this, though, and we can end on this. I do admire what you're doing. I think that I'm naturally more. I think to wear the 10,000 hours, the I'm grinding out here on your sleeve and as publicly as you do, I think it's admirable, and I think that it's braver, because I think the reasons that I don't is sometimes I don't want people to kind of see it.
Yeah.
I just kind of be like, you know, this is for me. Yeah. I don't, because to show yourself and to say you have this goal and you have this dream and you have this ambition is to make yourself vulnerable to a public failure. Like, I don't like talking about auditions that I'm doing, or if I have a thing coming up we were talking about earlier. I don't like talking about that.
That's fair.
Because if I don't get it, I don't want people to know. Even though I can take the lesson and I can take the L, but I think the way you're doing it is the better way to do it. Because I think it's a better point of mind. And I think what you start to realize is you are now the Kevin Hart types that are, you're inspiring other people with your words. Maybe my actions as well. People see the grind, but I'm not out there preaching it in a way that actually inspires people. So I think what you're doing is the way to do it.
No, I appreciate you saying that. Only thing I would say is I seriously appreciate you saying that. You hit it on the head. My goal is, while I'm doing it, is to inspire people. Mm-hmm. It truly is. And it inspires me too, and it reminds me to do it. But, people, I have a day job, blah, blah, blah. And I've done well over 1,000 PowerPoint presentations in my life. And in none of them have I finished and somebody give me a hug and say, thank you, I needed that.
Yeah.
But be honest, how often does that happen to us?
Yeah, pretty often,
Pretty often. At least once a month, somebody gives me, and it's a big bear hug, and it's somebody you don't expect. I was in Oklahoma, and I thought a white dude was going to punch me. And it's big, like, look, and he gave me a hug, and he said, man, I needed that. So my point is, I do it for me, but I do it for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'd say, and just for as many of those you get, you get someone coming up and just be like, man, can you validate my parking? And can you?
That's what happens when you wear red.
And that's the balance.
That's what happens when you
wear
red.
Dude, that was really fun. This happened last night. That was so funny. Where's the bathroom? And you're like, all right. Trenton, we got to go to a show.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.